Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 27 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Today, we're going to do a cantina conversation between your two hosts, myself, Ken, and Steve. What we're looking to do today is just have a quick discussion or a debate, really, around something that we've done in the past, and that's the concept of free will.
Yeah, I've always had an interest in this subject due to listening to Sam Harris's podcast, because his opinion is really rooted in the science behind it. That's where it falls into the Nerd Cantina. Most of this discussion has heavily to do with philosophy, but my stance actually has a lot to do with the science behind the philosophy. We've listened to a very intelligent people talk about this conversation. I had thoughts of renaming this from a cantina conversation to a discussion with dummies, and we'll see where this goes. This should be fun.
Maybe not for everybody who's listening. Hopefully you still give it a try, as maybe we're going to talk about things that you've never really pondered or thought about, which is kind of wearily where I was before listening to some of these podcasts that that Steve's turned me on to.
So enjoy the conversation, and please take part in it afterwards. We definitely want to hear more voices on what your thoughts are and, you know, what your opinion is and where you lie. So after we get done, please hit us up on the voicemail, the comment section, and the Facebook group, wherever that you feel comfortable, and keep the conversation going. So with that said, let's get this rolling.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, welcome back, and thanks for joining us for the Cantina Conversation on the concept of free will. A little bit of philosophy in your life is not a bad thing, and Steve and I are going to debate, because we don't agree on this topic.
Not at all.
And that's why we thought we were getting into another one of these debates, another one of these conversations, and we just said, let's just do it for the podcast. Let's see if anybody else is interested in this topic as we kind of dive into a little bit of science on it and a whole lot of philosophy.
So why don't you take the chance to explain to them the concept of what you feel free will is?
So free will is the concept that we have freedom of choice. Specifically, I'll read like a dictionary definition for it, which is the power of acting without the constraint of necessity or fate, the ability to act at one's own discretion. So through that concept of free will, it's just whether do we have agency in our own decisions? Are we free without constraint? And I would say no. That anybody who believes in 100% free will is a bit delusional as far as how much control we have. So I don't believe in 100% free will. And if the debate is whether we have all free will, we are free of constraint, we can make any decision we want, then no, I don't agree with that. But I can let you describe what is determinism.
Well, I mean, from the definition, there are a lot of people that do feel that way, that we have complete free will. There are a lot of libertarian or free will people out there. I am what they call a determinist. I believe in determinism, that a lot of people believe that means fate, that we are just destined to do things. I believe fate has a lot to do with something that you can predict, though, also. So if we are fated to do something, it kind of leads the human mind to believe that at some point we'd be able to predict our own fate. That is not what determinism really is, though. What determinism is that you are destined to do something based on your subconscious and physical surroundings that dictate your actions. So what Ken believes is free will often to me is the appearance of choice. You are given the appearance of choosing your own breakfast. You are given the appearance of choosing whether you're going to do this or not do this. But in actuality, the science says that you are limited based on your physical interactions throughout your life and what your subconscious mind is allowing you to perceive and do. So as you feel that you have this unlimited choice to do X, Y, or Z, actually, you were only given the choices that your environment and your mind are allowing you to choose from, which in my definition is anything but free will.
The actual, again, I want to be clear on when we talk about these terms, that we're using it within the realm of what philosophy defines them as. And like determinism is defined as a theory or doctrine that acts of free will, occurrences in nature, or social or psychological phenomena are causally determined by preceding events or natural laws. So everything, including acts of free will or just shit that happens in nature, whatever it happens to be, is determined already by previous events. And this is where it starts to differ a little bit. And you say that the science supports it, that it's, you know, defined by science. It's not, because we don't really understand. We have such a low-level understanding of the human brain and exactly what is processed. So you're going to argue that, yeah, the science shows it. Do I agree with some of this? Absolutely. So there's a third philosophy that I tend to fall more into, and that's compatibilism, which compatibilism is kind of the combination of the two, that it's the belief that free will and determinism are mutually compatible and that it is possible to believe in both without logically inconsistent. That compatibilism is this combination that we are only presented with certain situations and capability for decisions. We don't have 100% free will because we are absolutely framed by our previous experiences. We can only choose the breakfasts that are available to us. We can't eat things that aren't there, right? When you use the breakfast example, we are predetermined to some degree based off of what our environment allows for us to have and what our previous experiences have given us.
Well, what the science doesn't know is how the subconscious works, but we do know that the subconscious plays a heavy part. So that's kind of where the science ends, is we don't know the inner workings of why your brain only sends certain signals to your conscious to make these choices. We don't know the internal AI we all have in our head that gives us the options, why it only gives us these options. But the fact that we do know that your subconscious limits you on your choices is what rules out free will from the jump off. So in, you know, like, okay, we'll go back to the breakfast one. You know, you think to yourself, you could have an unlimited amount of choices, and you wake up in the morning and you say, I'm going to choose Frosted Flakes. Well, there was a subset of decisions in your brain that you had nothing to do with that pushed Frosted Flakes to your frontal lobe that made you choose that. It wasn't like you had this long thought process, or even if you did, that thought process was still dictated by certain choices that your subconscious made that pushed that to your frontal lobe to essentially make that decision. And if you contemplated three cereals before you chose Frosted Flakes, that's what gives you the appearance of free will. But those three cereals were only pushed to your frontal lobe by a subconscious workings that we are yet to understand, but know that, you know, if you have Cap'n Crunch, Frosted Flakes, Lucky Charms, and Raisin Bran in your cupboard, and you only thought about the choice between the two, it was your subconscious that ruled out the first two to begin with. I
always, and if you chose Raisin Bran, you're a sociopath.
I always like to go to like the example of, you know, asking someone, well, what's the funniest movie you've ever seen? And, you know, then you ponder all the movies that you can think of, you know, blah, 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 you know, Pineapple Express, Step Brothers, whatever your funniest movies are. And then you give an answer. And then the person you're talking to may say, oh, well, have you seen Talladega Nights? Oh, yeah, I've seen Talladega Nights. No, for sure. That's the funniest movie I've seen. It was your subconscious that held that answer from you. It was your subconscious that didn't present to you the Talladega Nights option, even though you know you've seen the movie. You obviously think it's the funniest movie that you've ever seen, but yet for some reason that is not understandable yet, so your subconscious held that answer back from you. And due to the fact that your subconscious is able to withhold these options, you do not have free will.
The problem with arguing against any determinist is...
I'm right.
I akin it to the fact that it's like when you're a kid and you're playing superheroes or whatever else at the playground, and there's that asshole kid who always has every power. He's invincible to everything. It doesn't matter what you do, and it's, oh no, I'm invincible to fire. Well, now I'm invincible to ice. And problem with determinism is anything that I frame, anything that I say. So I believe in the compatibilism model that we are only set presented with very limited options. There, most of our existence is determined by the environment and by influence that pushes us along these rails. But there are still moments that of free will when you are faced with those limited options that you get to decide. And now the determinist is just going to say, oh, well, but you're not even deciding because somewhere in your subconscious, see,
this is where we get into the major gripe about is that choice is not free will. Yes, you have choices in life.
So I agree.
You know, you have choices. I will not deny that in there are moments in life where you have the ability to make choices. But there's also the argument that even when you're making these choices, a lot of those choices are based on life experiences that have molded your subconscious into pushing that answer for you. So even if you have the choice between the three cereals, your subconscious is at some point saying, well, I really want sugar. I really like marshmallows. I really like this. And then you didn't think of any of those things actively in your frontal lobe. You know, so when you say Lucky Charms, you think it was your just free will choice to choose Lucky Charms, when in actuality, it was your subconscious listening to your body with sugar addiction and fluffy marshmallow love and all these things that your subconscious processed without you knowing. You know, you don't think about your heart beating. You don't have to think about doing that. You don't have to think about breathing. You don't think about blinking. These are all actions that your body takes on its own due to internal workings. And your subconscious is part of that internal working. So even when you make a choice between the three things, your subconscious had a lot to do with why you made that choice. So if that is how you're making choices with this involuntary reaction that life is molded in the back of your head, there really is no choice. There's just an appearance of a choice.
Yeah, and again, that's the whole point of determinism, is that even that we make no choices, that we are completely without agency in our lives and without agency in what's happening, that it's everything.
We are essentially
just
the old school window browser that bounces around the screen from corner to corner to corner, and every once in a while you hit that magic perfect spot in a corner and you feel proud of yourself, but really we're just meat robots bouncing around off each other in life, you know. And to think that we have this ability to really mold what we are doing. You know, I listen to a lot of evolutionary science podcasts. I'm very into evolutionary science. So much of what we do in our everyday lives is based on instincts that we've developed from 100,000 years of living in caves that we still apply to our lives today, but we don't realize it. These are things that are ingrained in us that we don't realize. You know, a deer is born and instantly pops up and walks. Like, was that a choice? Fuck no. It was their subconscious. It was their instinct. It was bred into them. They had no choice in knowing that. And that's a survival one, you know, so that they don't not laying on the ground and get eaten by a wolf. You know, it was something bred into them. But at no point is it something that you can control yourself.
So the big problem is, again, there's no way to dispute that your subconscious has a role in these choices that are made. it's just whether you have to come to an agreement that we also have no control over our subconscious. We have no control over how we apply those influences, how we apply those experiences to decision-making. And maybe for just a purely emotional reason, I'm going to say that that's bullshit. Because what I'm going to say is there has to be some agency in what we're doing. Otherwise, there's a whole lot that we do in society that makes zero sense. All right, let's talk about morality and let's talk about justice and punishment and how that plays in. Because if everybody's determined, so in your opinion, if everybody was determined, if Bernie Madoff was determined to steal grandma's fucking annuities and take everybody's pensions, then why should he be in jail? What is the point? Where do we completely have
so,
no
yeah, so my control? Argument to that is it may not be your fault you're a shitty person, but you're still a shitty person and we don't need you around, so fuck you.
But you're not making that decision anyway.
So what? Right, I don't care why. I don't care why you're a shitty person. I really don't care. You know, whether it was the way your parents treated you when you were a baby that you had no choice over, and now you're a grown-ass adult and the scars of your childhood are affecting you now, it's really not your fault. No, it's not your fault. Bottom line is, you're still a detriment to society, so fuck off.
Do you like to consider yourself a good father?
I try to be, yeah.
No, you don't. Try is a verb that implies that you have control. You don't.
I do know I have limitations. I do know I have things ingrained in me that I really can't help at times. And what I do try to do is focus on the parts of my life that I know have benefit and try to suppress the things in me that are more detrimental to the development of my child.
But here's the problem. You're using verbs like try and suppress, which you have no agency or control over, right? What you're saying is that you are actively making choices as a parent to try and do better. But then what you're also saying
with
is...
With the choices my subconscious is allowing me to have. Yeah, I'm
so no choice.
You know, and granted, yeah, those choices are molded by a subconscious and a past life that I've led that are only giving me these choices. And because of the past life I have led, when given those choices, I choose A rather than B or C. So even though I'm making those choices, I am aware that the only reason why I'm choosing A is because of this past life that I've led that has influenced me to the point where A is the only option that I feel is a way to move forward.
So, but going back to choices A, B, and C,
you know,
in your parenting, did you have any, was there ever a chance that B was an option, or was A already predetermined? Because
I am conscious of the B option doesn't mean that, yeah, B was ever an option, you know?
And that's the problem. You use choice as an illusion in determinism when it suits you, but then even emotionally, you're not come to grips with the fact that there was never a choice. You are just the parent that you are. There is no trying to be better. There is no suppressing of bad parenting or whatever else. It's just what it is. And you have no control. You have no choice.
Well, so I look at it as like, okay, so me and my ex-wife co-parent, you know, our daughter sees both parents every day. I'm still very friendly with my ex-wife, and we try to present the best life that we're able to present for our daughter based on the fact that we don't want to be with each other anymore, but we have a child and we want to do these things. We both came to this decision because we both came from horrible divorced families, and realized that we didn't want to put our kid in any kind of similar situation that either one of us was put in. So as a lot of people would think that it was a choice to do this, it was determined at 5 years old when my mom and dad got divorced that I was going to do this. That's when it was determined, without divulging our somewhat horrid family history. yeah, when the way I raise my daughter now with my ex-wife was determined 25 years ago.
It was determined thousands of years ago. It was determined thousands and thousands of years ago based off of everything has been on a rail. Everything has just been on a path based off a determined.
Well, see, so you say a rail, and that's where I differ. Like I said, we're bouncing around the window screen of life and just randomly bumping into each other. And every time we bump into somebody or bump into a situation, it molds us even further in our direction of choices.
No, but that's not how determinism works. So, because determinism is a rail, because even where it looks as though we're bumping into things and then altering course, that course was already predetermined. We were already on a rail to make that turn.
That leads you to believe that if we were smarter beings, that we'd be able to predict our path. And I don't think that's ever predictable, because it's essentially the butterfly effect. You know what I mean? Something so minute can have a huge effect on the trajectory of your life that you would never know. So to be able to predict down to those very minute life experiences or very minute, you know, choices that your subconscious makes, to be able to say, well, in 5 years I'm going to be doing this because of XYZ, that comes into, like, you know, quantum mechanics that you can't ever figure out.
This is why I tend to believe in the blending of the two. I believe in the blending of determinism to the sense that determinism gets us I can morally and mentally reason my way to the fact that determinism gets us 99% of the way. It's our influences, what's happened over our entire existence, including even like instincts and evolutionary traits that exist within us. We don't have control over who we interact with or what the environments are that we interact with on a day-to-day basis. But I still believe that there's still the blending of choice within that. And you can call that free will or not. Free will is a term that's way too overarching that says we always have choice. I don't believe in that. But I do believe that we have choice. We have some agency in those moments of choice A, B, and C. And that we have some measure of control of our subconscious and what, because our brains, our mental processes are always developing. I believe that we have some level of control. Problem is, you can never test that. You know, when we talk about the science aspect of it, again, through the determinism, you know, they can show that when we're faced with a bunch of choices, the neural firings that are taking place happens way before we actually reach out and grab that item. Like, it's already been determined. Our mind has already determined it before we get to a point that we even recognize that we know that choice. And it does tend to look like it's predetermined, but I still argue that we don't know enough about how the brain processes. We don't know enough about how these influences allow us to make these choices.
But we do know that we have our life is greatly influenced by instinct and environment. You know, this falls right into, you know, PTSD. You know, there are events in people's lives that drastically alter their personality, their ability, their cognitive ability, you know, and these are things that you don't have control over. You have no say so in how you react. You know, when I get mad a lot, I get frustrated really easy. I have a big rage problem. And as I've taken multiple steps in my life to try to squash that, I do also realize there's at times like, why am I so mad right now? Why am I have no choice in the fact that when my daughter does something so silly and had nothing to do with that, that this internal rage monster is just telling me to flip out, bro, go fucking ape shit. You know, I have no control over that instinct to lash out, to, and just in knowing that, I know that a lot of who I am and what I do in my life is not under my control. Now, do I give myself exoneration from these actions because of that? No. I'm still responsible for my actions despite not having control for them. And any steps that I can take to try to curb that, I will take. Do I have a choice to say, ah, fuck it, it's who I am, and I'm just going to fucking be this raging asshole all the time? I guess I have that choice, you know, but that's not who I was raised to want to be, and that is not who, you know, that is not what is going to be beneficial to me and my family. So I do, you know, to my best ability, try to make those choices where I can to curb that.
So it's funny because I feel like we've gotten to this point of our argument before where, yeah, the decision to not be a determinist from my standpoint is purely an emotional one. It's purely because I want some semblance of control.
As humans, we need that.
It's exactly what you're describing right now. What you're describing right now is not determinist. It is, you are still showing the semblance, a point of free will.
Well, people often go to the like pedophile argument, you know, so you're saying like pedophiles don't have a choice. A lot of them don't have a choice. And it's almost been scientifically proven that pedophilia is a brain reaction, and that a lot of these people can't help it. Should we exonerate pedophilia? Should we be okay as a society with pedophilia? Fuck no. Sorry you lost the lottery of life and now you're a piece of shit person and we should lock you away, castrate you, and possibly take you out in the back and shoot you. Do I feel bad that you had no choice in this? Sure. Do I think that at any point we should give you a free pass because you had no choice in this? Fuck no.
Again, I agree with this. If I felt like it, I could argue the determinism all day, because it is an argument that, again, no matter what you say, whatever anybody ever says, I can argue determinism. You can argue free choice, and I can always argue the illusion of choice, that everything was already decided for you based off of influence and subconscious behavior, which was shaped by your influences and environment. I can always argue that. I sure as a shit won't agree with it for, again, a personal emotional tie to choice, that I want to believe that I am a good father because I am making day-to-day choices that allows me to shape and mold the environment and the influences that my kids undergo.
See, and this
otherwise,
is,
if my kids are on a rail, then what the fuck's the point?
So, this is where I would defer to tap in a Sam Harris, you know,
yeah,
because he does such a great job of arguing this point, and I am.
But I've read his book, Free Will.
I know, and I'm not smart enough to make this to explain this in terms that I've heard. When I hear him say it, I go, "Oh yeah, totally makes sense. Totally agree with it." And then I have to explain it to somebody, and I just shit the bed. I don't know how to channel my inner Sam Harris and make that argument myself. I can honestly admit that.
Well, and I say you're only agreeing with it when you're listening to it. Because even when you describe your role in your life and your role in how you're trying to shape things going forward.
That's what it appears to me. And he would be able to tell you why my appearance is wrong. And I don't, and I would say, okay, cool. Like, yeah, you know, you're right. All right, cool. Yeah. But like you said, it is human nature for us to want to feel like we have choice. I think it was essential to our evolution. I think it was essential to our survival at some point in human history, and that's why we have that innate urge to feel as if we are in control of our own actions and own destiny. But in actuality, I mean, so much of our life is dictated on instincts that have been bred in our DNA for 100,000 years that we have no control over. And that is just survival instinct.
I agree. Again, I believe that 99% of where where life takes us does probably fall in that determinism realm. This is why I like the lazy approach that philosophy has gone in the past, and I'm going to agree with it, and the philosophy that's called compatibilism, which is it's the merging between free choice under what is largely a determinist.
Well, compatibilism is just really humans grasping onto that 1% for dear life.
Yeah, that's me. And that's me. So if you're going to call me a philosopher, I'm going to take that side. If you're going to, you know, again, argue that some of this is explained or can be proven through science, I'm going to say no, not yet. But there's
a neuroscientist that would argue with you. You know,
that's I understand. But there's also ones that argue against it too. And there's also a lot of highly intelligent individuals who argue against it. And we'll try to link some of our favorite podcasts that we've listened to in the show notes for this. Link some of the books like Sam Harris's Free Will, where he writes exclusively about this topic. And we'll try to present this. I think we've hit our normal wall in this conversation.
we'll just keep beating each other in the head.
Yeah, we'll save the audience from hearing us just reiterate our same points but with different examples, and allow everybody else to come up with your own examples, join the debate, join the discussion. If you enjoyed this topic, great. We hope some did. We understand that this philosophical existential type thought process isn't for everybody,
but it has some weight in science. It has some you know, it is a good blend, I think, of philosophy and science. And part of our goals at the Cantina is not just to give you the regurgitated pop culture opinions that you can listen to 100 to 1,000 podcasts to get that same information for. We do want to start some science-based and intellectual conversations that you might not normally have. And that was my argument to Ken when I pitched this idea for us to have this debate, is that, you know, we are a nerd community. We are more in the realm of intellectual thought and things like that. Most of the pop culture, TV shows, movies, and books that we like to read are diving into some of these subjects. You know, they dip their toes into them. So we wanted to have this intellectual discussion and see if any of our audience wanted to participate in it. And if we don't get a good reaction, we'll just keep arguing on the phone about this shit. But I'm hoping that that some of you guys really maybe take some time and watch a couple YouTube videos, maybe read Sam Harris's book or listen to a few podcasts on free will. I'm really, all you have to do is Google free will and you're going to get a shit ton of information from both sides. And then let us know what you think. If you are on the side of fate, or if you are on the side of, no, I am not just this random monkey making decisions through brain synapses. You know, if you think that you have every control over everything in your life, call me a dummy and let me know.
Well, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed it. We'll ask that you take a minute to go to whatever podcast player you're listening to and ensure that you have subscribed to our podcast, and then jump over to the Facebook community at thenerdcantina.com/community and let us know your thoughts on this subject and whether you care to hear any more of these. Thanks again, and join us next time. Real quick, we just wanted to mention one of our favorite new apps, which is PodCoin. So assuming that because you're listening to our podcast today, that you happen to be a podcasting nerd. And if you are, I can't see any reason why you wouldn't want to get paid for your time.
I'm a big fan of getting paid to do stuff that I do in my daily routine anyways. I sign up for all the rewards programs possible. And with PodCoin, you actually get paid to listen to podcasts. So every minute that goes by that you're listening to your podcast, you are throwing away potential money.
So go ahead, download PodCoin app on either through iTunes or through the Google Play Store. And when you sign up with the promo code Nerd Cantina.
One word. That'll get you 300 free coins towards your account and get you on your way to earning that first reward from either Amazon gift card, Target gift cards, all kinds of things. You can also donate your coins to your favorite charity that they offer. If you're going to be listening to podcasts anyways, you might as well get some free stuff for doing it. So download the PodCoin app, put in the code Nerd Cantina, get your free coins, and start earning money while you listen to our show.